Hebrews chapter number 10 tonight. And I want to be a blessing. And I believe this will be a help to you. There's certain things that in the Christian life we struggle with at times. We just struggle with and struggle through. Some people struggle with certain things that maybe I wouldn't struggle with, and I'll struggle with certain things that you wouldn't struggle with. We all have those things. The Bible talks about besetting sins and weights, right? And your weight and my weight may be different weights, but they're still weight. And so we got to look at those things. And one of the things that people struggle with is their past. Sometimes their past just keeps at them all the time. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. And really, the crux of the message will be right towards the end. So hang in, because I got to lay some groundwork. My first two points are really groundwork. And the last point is really the message itself. So just hang on with me. Hebrews chapter number 10. I know it's your custom to stand while we read. If you're able to, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. We'll start in verse number 1. And the Bible says this: "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never..." By the way, if you go through this chapter and you underline or highlight things, find the negatives in there and notice what things don't work. Here it says the law, it was a shadow, but it could never with the sacrifices, never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It was never going to get them to heaven. God never intended that. And by the way, if you'll take somebody to that struggles with work salvation, take them to this and say, "This, it'll never do. See, they were never meant for that." Verse number 2, it says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered?" And so there's a question there. "Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he had said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Praise God. "And by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Father in heaven, I pray that you would help me now as I preach through this tonight. I pray it would be a blessing to these, your dear people. They didn't come here to listen to me. They came here to listen to you. So, Lord, I pray the cross would be lifted up and you'd be lifted up in every which way and honored and glorified. And, Lord, I pray that those that need encouragement would find encouragement from the Scriptures. And maybe it'll challenge a few of us in some areas. And, God, we need that because we all need to grow. And, God, help us to press forward for the cause of Christ. If you give us next year, 2026, may it be a greater year than 2025 for each and every church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to jump right into it. I'm just going to take the first couple of points as basically my introduction. So we're going to look at, first of all, our position in Christ, our position in Christ. One of the great struggles with the past is some people forget their position. They don't understand their position, or they negate their position, or sometimes some things get in the way and block that view of our position in Christ. It's good to know your identity in Jesus. And that'll help you a whole lot. I'm going to have you flip through the scriptures tonight. I'm going to have you kind of move a little bit with me. I know it's not a Wednesday night, but I'm going to have you move so you can look at it with your eyes. So take the Word of God and go to Ephesians chapter number 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter number 2. In Ephesians chapter number 2, there's so much, and it's hard to unpackage everything all at one time. But in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's the very first verse of chapter number 2. He's talking to a church, is he not? The church at Ephesus. These are born again. By the way, a real church is made up of born again believers. Okay? Just because they say church doesn't mean it's a church. A church is made up of born again believers. And he says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's how we were before Christ came into our life. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are not alive. It's somebody that would state, "Well, I've always believed in God, and so thus I may be, I'm going to heaven." That's not true, because we're dead in trespasses and sins. It's that moment where we trust Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. The Holy Spirit of God makes us born into the family. We're born above, from above, and we're quick and we're made alive in Christ. Verse number 2, it says, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now let me stop right there, because the next part is where it gets good. But it says in times past in verse number 2. In times past. This is where everybody is. I want everybody to listen to this. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in church or not. In times past, you walk according to the course of this world. Period. You say, "Well, wait a minute. I'm in church, so I'm not in the course of this world." See, if you're not born again, you're underneath the course of this world, period. You're following the prince and power of the air. You have no control over that. And you have to have somebody else to come inside you supernaturally change that for you, because you can't fight the prince and power of the air on your own. You have to have a friend. When I was in grade school, I know this would be hard to believe, but I was the shortest kid in my class. And the smallest, I was the runt. I mean, even the girls were taller than me. And when we were let out for recess, there was this corner you had to go around to get to the playground. I hated that corner. Because when I came around that corner, there was these guys there, and they met me. And now I was scrappy, but you know, when you got a few guys bigger than you, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would kick and bite and poke. I mean, I did everything I could. Man, I would walk away from that not feeling very good. So recess, we're going, most kids are excited. I'm thinking, here I go again, you know, another one of those days. Well, one day there's a kid that moved from out of state, and he moved, and he was part of my class, and he was a big guy. And I thought, I need to be his friend. And more importantly, he needs to be my friend. And so what I did is I thought, man, I'm going to buddy up with this guy. He doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know that he can see that I'm a rump, but he doesn't know that I'm the guy that gets picked on. And so I made friends with this guy. And I said, "Hey, I'll show you where all the greatest spots are to play on the playground." And he's just happy as a lark to, you know, have a new friend and that kind of thing. And he didn't know I was using him for my own personal gain. But so there's that corner. I see that corner, and I come walking around that corner. I'm thinking, is this going to be one of those days? And so I walk around the corner, and there's those guys again. I'm like, oh. And they looked at me, and then they looked at him, and they looked at me, and they looked at him, and they left me alone. You know, hey, listen. In life, you go around the corner, and the devil will meet you there. And if you're by yourself, guess what? You're going to come out on the bottom end. You can kick and scratch and bite and poke all you want, but you've got to have a friend that's bigger than him. And Jesus is bigger than him. And so I give that because in times past, hey, we're undone. And we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. according that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And before young people get, before children get saved, listen, they're little sinners. Say, how do you know? I've got five of them. And they all have their issues and they all have their moments. But I do notice this, when they trust Christ as our personal Savior, there is a difference that takes place. That doesn't mean they become sinless, but there's something that's different there. And then it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. We just did what we want according to what, however we thought it would be good for us. If that meant lie to get it, that's what we'd do. If that meant steal to get it, that's what we'd do. If we needed to hide something because we thought this would be beneficial to us, we would. And all of those things. But in verse number 4, it says, but God. Aren't you glad for that? Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So a change takes place. We were dead, but now we're made alive. And guess what it says? It says we're quickened together with Christ. We're made a part of him. We're not separated. We are a part of him, and so he's with us. And then it says we sit together, I mean positionally, at that moment. Like right now, I'm sitting. It's hard for me to comprehend. I'm sitting right now in a heavenly place. That's how God views me. I'm not sitting here on earth. I'm sitting in the heavenlies. And if I'm sitting in the heavenlies, shouldn't I act like I'm heavenly? Yes. Just a thought pattern here. And our position in Christ. Now, there's more to come, and that's what he says in verse number 7. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So you go back just a little bit there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Familiar passage for many people, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I would blame things if I misstate things on jet lag, but I really don't have that excuse at this point. I'm just blaming it on all the candy I've eaten this last week at in Mom and Dad's house. Man, it's been good. It's wonderful. I've been trying to gain all the weight back that I lost during hunting season. By the way, Pastor Jerry, I just want to let you know, I don't hunt and I don't shoot. I just take my gun for a walk. That's what I do. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. And the Bible says this, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if we stop right there, we're all in trouble, are we not? Because somewhere we can be fit in there. I've heard people tell me, say, well, I've never committed adultery. I've had guys tell me that. And I've looked at them and I said, have you ever looked on a woman to lust after her? And they get real quiet. I said, well, Jesus said, that's adultery already in your heart. You've already committed it. The sin starts in the heart. And whether you commit the act or not, the sin is already there. It's in the heart. And it says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means we're all in trouble. And verse number 11, and it says, and such were some of you. Were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. By the way, the action there of those words, ye are sanctified, it's continual action. In other words, when God sanctifies us, it starts at the point of salvation and he continues to work that through. You can never go back. You can never go back. And it's wonderful. It's one of some were such some of you. That means positionally, listen, God doesn't look at me as a thief or covetous or an idolater or an adulterer or any of those things. He does not look. He does not see those things. He does not acknowledge those things because my position in him has changed. It's changed my position in Christ. Titus chapter 3, you don't have to go there, but Titus chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Hey, listen, I'm an heir with Jesus. That's my position. That's my position. And but we have a problem, don't we? So we have a position in Christ. We know what we are. I'm born again. I'm a son of the King. I'm a son of the King. And listen, I'm joint heirs with Jesus. I have the eternal riches of glory. I have that. That's what I have right now. It's not someday. I'm there right now. But why do I struggle then? Romans chapter 6. Why don't you go there just for a moment. Romans chapter number 6. Why do I struggle so very much? Romans chapter number 6. There's a command given in verse number 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." That's a command. It's not an optional thing. He says, don't let it reign, rule, be king of your life. You know, you choose which king you have. You choose which king you have. And at the beginning of the chapter asks a question, "What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid, right? How shall we that are dead to sins live any longer therein? And then verse number 13, it says this, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and your members..." it says, "as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So we have this thing. We can either choose and pick which one we're going to go after. And if we yield our members, our flesh, this thing, if we yield it to sin, then guess what's going to happen? We're going to sin. Yes, sir. If we give into it. If we yield and we say, "Well, I'm going to obey God," guess what? We're going to obey then righteousness. And but there's a battle that goes on there. Verse number 14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace." And for the believer, sin does not have to rule our life. It does not have to. Verse number 15, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to a righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you become the servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. I want to echo something here. Pastor Ross mentioned the Bible reading schedule and being doing things on purpose. Yes, sir. It is said, and I know he said it before, this book will keep you from sin. Yes, sir. Or sin will keep you from this book. And it sounds simplistic, but the fact is, the more Bible that you pump into yourself and you just keep that thing pumping all the time. And I'm not talking about just scanning over. I'm talking about reading it and meditating over it and thinking about what God has to say to you. I'm going to say something to the young people just for a moment. I do this with my children. They have to read their Bible every day. I mean, we ask them, "Hey, did you read your Bibles for them? Did you read your..." If they're off, watch this. If they're off, there's something off on their countenance, something off about the way they're behaving. The first question I'll ask them is, "Did you read your Bible this morning?" And and a lot of times, you'll think, well, they'll say no. Now, every once in a while, they'll say no. But a lot of times they'll say yes. Yes, I read my Bible. And I'll say, did you really read your Bible? And then they'll go, no. I'll ask them, hey, are you walking with the King? Are you walking with the King? Because there's a difference between just reading your Bible and walking with God in your Bible. And so as you read, you do it on purpose. That's why he's talking about a schedule. You're doing these things on purpose. And why is that so important? Because if you walk with the King, the Prince and power of the air has no power over you. Because you're walking with the King. But we have a problem. We have a choice there. God gives us. He doesn't force this choice. And in Romans chapter number 7, after he talks about what you can yield to, in Romans chapter 7, I'm glad I have somebody like the Apostle Paul that I can relate to. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says this. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, let me pause right there just for a moment. There's some people out there that say, well, the law is, you know, no law. But here he says, listen, the law is spiritual. The word of God is spiritual. The commands of God are spiritual. But I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. That's why I can't accomplish the spiritual, right? The carnal mind is what? Enmity with God? Isn't that what it says? The carnal mind is at odds with anything spiritual. It doesn't think spiritually. And verse number 15, it says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what would that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. He's talking about the spiritual man there. He says, listen, I know that there's some things that are right, and the things that I really hate inside, I find myself doing. Anybody else have that problem? You get these thoughts that come through your mind. You're like, where did that come from? And you're like, how did I get there? And all those types of things. Verse number 16 says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Anybody had that problem before? Where you want to do right? Some of you young people, you've heard a lot of preaching. I love young people. That's why I'm looking at you, because you're the future. Now listen to me very carefully. Some of you have struggles, and you struggle, and you're like, why do I keep struggling with this thing? It's not the struggle that's the problem. Is if you give into the struggle and yield to it, that's the problem. Listen to what I just said there. We all have struggles. The Apostle Paul said he had struggles. If the Apostle Paul has struggles, who are we to say that we're not going to have struggles? Now, I believe you can have victory over that, but there's some things you're just going to fight with all the time. And you're going to find, I keep trying to do this, but how to perform? I can't find the way to do this thing. Verse number 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that's the spiritual part. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's always this battle going on, our flesh. And until we get rid of this, we're going to have this battle. This is the problem. On our daily life, that's the problem. Sometimes, no matter how long you've been doing this, sometimes you'll get up and you'll struggle with your Bible reading. Sometimes, I don't know about anybody else, but you go to pray and you start praying and then pretty soon you find your head down and drool coming out the side, your head stuck to the side of the pillow. Come on. And you know what I mean? And or you get down to pray and you start praying and pretty soon you're not praying anymore, you're just thinking. You know, there's a difference between thinking and actually praying and talking to God and asking Him for some things. There's times where I find myself just thinking over a situation and not even asking God about it anymore. I'm just thinking about it in my own mind. And there's a battle there that's always going on. There's this daily, this back and forth and back and forth. And until this thing can be delivered, listen, we're going to have that struggle. Now, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, we know the verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that? But that doesn't make the struggle go away. But it is a way to get clean. If you don't do that, then you continue to stay underneath the weight and all those type of things, and it piles up until it crushes you. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, right after that, it says, "My little children, these things are written on you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous," right? And by the way, he's the propitiation of our sins. That's why he's our advocate. He paid for it. He said, "Listen, that's under the blood. I took care of that," right? And it's not for just our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, everybody. And God did that. We all need an advocate, but why do we need an advocate? Why? Because there's an accuser. An accuser. Accusations are brought forth. There has to be somebody prosecuting in order to have an advocate or a defense lawyer. Jesus is our defense lawyer. Now we understand there's that spiritual defense attorney, and then we have a spiritual prosecuting team. And we know the team. It's not something that you don't know already. The world, the devil, and our own flesh. Okay? Now what is the world then? We'd say, well, that's out there, but let's just bring it home for just a moment. Let's make this real practical. The world sometimes are the people that we know. They can't seem to let something go of our past. Many of you have grown up in this church, and so you're known for things you've done. Why are you laughing, Brother Jeff? I've heard stories. Wait, hold on a second. I heard stories. Wait, let me say that again. I've heard stories. Somebody, now they say, well, they're just joking around. Yeah, but if you understand how we work and how we tick, sometimes when you're in a spiritual low, when those things start floating around again, man, the devil will use the world, people we know, those people close to us, maybe some sort of coworker, maybe somebody that's in our own church, a family member, whatever the case may be, and they'll bring something up from the past all of a sudden, and boy, the devil will come by then and use that and lay you low and say, see, I told you, you'll never be able to get past your past. You'll never be able to do what God wants you. You'll never, never be able to succeed for Christ. Never. And he'll lay that on you. And the Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Is that right? Then we have our flesh. I'm going to say this. Of all the three things, the world, Satan, and the flesh, my worst enemy is my flesh. It's the guy I look at in the mirror. In the recesses of our mind will lie faults and failures of the past. Things we said that maybe we shouldn't have said or done that we shouldn't have done. Things that we didn't do that we should have done or things that we should have said but we didn't. Can I just open up just for a moment? I enjoyed riding the bus this morning because it reminded me of my past a little bit. That's me. I'm a bus kid. I heard they were praying for the kids before they had their Christmas little snack and gifts and things like that. And the prayer was that God would help them to turn out. And I'm still working on turning out. But it can happen. I believe so. Because with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And not all of the things of the past are bad reminders, but there's some things that you go through and your mind starts going back to, and they aren't very good reminders. And when I was a teenager, my hair looked a lot different than it does now. And I'll describe it the best way I can. You ready, guys? This is the haircut you don't get. So I was shaved, I mean, like bald here, but underneath, and my bangs, guys are not supposed to have bangs, by the way. But my bangs went down to here. Here, yes. And you wouldn't know this because I keep it short, but I actually have somewhat curly hair, a natural curl in my hair. So I would try to keep them straight, but listen, I wasn't using a straightener on my hair. There's just some things that just don't happen. And so they would curl. And I'd have this like ram's horn. And I had a necklace. Gold chain. Yeah. And it didn't have a weight like Mr. T had, because, man, something about his gold chain, I just couldn't handle that. And I had an earring in my ear. Now, some of you just changed your view of me. And you're trying to, this mental picture, just I'm just telling you something here. And that's what I was. Yes, sir. I didn't know anymore. Preachers used to poke fun, and they still do, about the guys that their pants were seven sizes too big, and you could fit a whole clown's army in there, and you know, if you played the right music, they'd start coming out, and I mean, they'd have their own circus, and they walk around, you know, and they droop, and you know, the guys have to walk like this, you know, but somehow that's cool, and that was me. Yeah, listen, when you have a 22 size waist and you wear a 36, it doesn't work right. And it just doesn't work right. And that was me. And the group I hung out was not the right crowd. And evil communications do corrupt good manners. And I got more in trouble, not for what I did, but just for the crowd I was hanging around. I promise you, I got more trouble for it than you could shake a stick at. And but that was my crowd. In fact, one of my friends that I had was a crack cocaine dealer. That's what I grew up around. And that was my past. But God did something. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, when I first started coming back to church as a teenager, see, I got saved at age 11, was in church for a couple years, and then dropped out, backslidden, all those type of things. And that's when I got in a lot of trouble. By the way, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will not let you go. Yes, sir. Every time I was doing something, I knew it wasn't the right thing to do. But I would sear my conscience to things and push my way through it. But I had no peace. But I got in church, and God started working on me and started cleaning some stuff up slowly. And then God called me to preach. And I thought, well, God called me to preach. I mean, I got to dress like a preacher and start talking like one and all those type of things. And every once in a while, what would happen is later down the road, guest preachers would come in and somebody would bring out a photo album. And say, well, this is what they used to be, and just go through. And you say, well, what were they doing? They weren't trying to hurt me, but there's part of me that said, that's not me. Yeah, right. I'm trying to get out of that. Right. And if you're not careful, by the way, in a good church like this, you will not let people go. Yeah. You'll keep looking at them, and you'll say, well, they were this, and they were this, and they were, and they got off track. But if they're in church and they get back on, trying to get back on track, let the past be in the past. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. But my flesh, I mean, those things, it brings insecurities, fears, discouragements, all those types of things, sorrow, oppression, frustration. And sometimes we look in the mirror and what we see in the mirror is not really what we're trying to portray. And someone compliments something we have done, and our flesh will get behind us and we'll kindly thank them, but our mind will immediately negate the whole thing. Right. Because we know things that other people don't know about us. Yeah. Now, we don't do those things anymore, and we've dealt with them, but we can't shake them. The past somehow won't stay in the past. Yes. Now, in this, our text passage, I want you to look at verse number 17. Because this is the text, this is the crux. And I'll be done here shortly, I promise you. In verse number 17, God says, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. God doesn't forget anything. That's a human frailty. Let me say it again. God does not forget anything. He chooses not to remember. And he says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now that's God's ability, but I struggle with that. Anybody else struggle with that? I'm not talking about just my sins. I'm talking about even other people's sins. You know, it's pretty easy to hold a grudge, isn't it? This person said this, or this person did that. And man, it might have been 20 years ago, but hey, man, that's what they did. And we're holding on to it. But if God remembers their sins and iniquities no more, then why should we? But here we are in the struggle. I can't do what God does. He's God and I'm human. But I've got a precious promise in the Bible. You ready? Revelation chapter 21. I told you I'd have you flip around a little bit. Revelation chapter 21. By the way, everything I'm saying is not an excuse to go out and sin and find forgiveness that way. It's best to just stay as clean as possible. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, one of the greatest benefits of the Christian life is one day I'm going to get a new body. Remember, I said my flesh is my problem. And one day I'm going to get a glorified body. And I want you to think about something just for a moment. On the cross of Calvary, all my sins and your sins were nailed there forevermore. I mean, and never to be held against us again. And there at that point in time, God looked down and he looked at you and he looked at me and he said, I will remember their sins no more. No more. And my position in Christ, that's how God views me. When the devil comes around and he makes accusations, honestly, God looks down at him and says, what sins are you talking about? We have a song, right? What sins are you talking about? I mean, that's what, sins are you talking about? There is no sin. I don't see the sin. I don't remember any sin. I don't remember when they did that. I don't see when they did it. It's all covered underneath the blood. But I struggle with it. But one day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a glorified body. And I will be like him, for I shall see him as he is. And I too will remember my sins no more. No more. I mean, never to be brought up again. There's going to be a day, God's people, listen to me, there's going to be a day where your accuser will leave you alone. Right. Permanently. Right. Watch. God wipes away the tears. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. It's all passed away. You know, in the Bible, it says, behold, all things are become new. Is that right? Yes. That word has the connotation they're becoming new all the time. That's that growth in Christ. See, there's never a time where you and I plateau in the Christian life and say, I've arrived, ever. Not here on this earth. So all things are becoming new. I'm still learning things in the Scripture. And I mean, I've been in the ministry for 20 plus years now and been preaching for almost 30 years. Almost 30, that's hard to believe. By the way, I appreciate the bus kids telling me that I looked. One said I looked like I was 30. The other one said I was in my mid-20s, and one girl said that I was in my 18s. I don't know what 18s is, But I said, man, I should hang around these people all the time. And but no, listen. One of these days, it won't become new. It will be new forevermore. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No more accusations. No more dealing with, well, I messed up here, and the devil's sitting on my shoulder, and my flesh telling me, you're not good enough, and hey, you just jump out of the ministry. Hey, you just quit that thing, and hey, just stop that thing. Hey, why even try anymore? You can't make it happen anyway. And by the way, I can't really make anything happen, but I do know this. I've got a great God. And I don't know who this is for tonight. Maybe it's just more for me than anybody else, but I do know this. There's some in here that you struggle with insecurity. But can I help you? You're secure in Christ. You're secure in Christ. And He remembers your sins no more. And when the devil comes around, your own flesh comes around, just, hey, tell him to go on back to hell. Because that's where that came from anyway. Young people, don't let the devil tell you, you messed up once. Don't let him get on your shoulder and tell you, you'll never do anything for God because you did this and this. Now, watch. There are some things you can be disqualified from. There's some things that I can do will disqualify me from being a pastor. But it doesn't mean I'm disqualified from loving God and serving Him from then on. Now, I'm not excusing it. Shouldn't do it. But God doesn't look at it the same way we do. And it's easy to judge. You know, the Bible tells us, and there's a famous verse that everybody knows, but they don't even know where to find the Bible, is judge not. But remember what it says in there? It says, hey, make sure the things in your life are right before you go picking at somebody else. And before you pick apart everybody else's past and say they should be this or this, maybe you just think about, wait a minute, God doesn't remember their sins anymore.